Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, B, they ready. Let's go.
I'm feeling myself.
I'm with some hood girls looking back at it, and a good girl in my tax bracket. Got a black card and less sex habit. These Chanel bags is a bad habit. I do balls, Dale Mavericks. My Maybach, black Maddie. Bitch never left, but I'm back at it. And I'm feeling myself, Jack Rabbit. Feeling myself, back off, cause I'm feeling myself, Jack off. Can you think about me when he whacks off? Wax on? National anthem, hats off. Then I curve that nigga like a bad horse. Let me get a number two with some Mac sauce. Or on a run tour with my mask off.
I'm feeling myself.
Days the game when that digital dropped. Know where you was when that digital popped. I shot the world. Male or female, it make no difference. I shot the world. World stop.
Carry on.
Pussy on feet. Pretty gang, always keep them niggas on deep. Riding through Texas, feed them for his breakfast. Every time I whip it, I be talking so reckless. He said, damn, Nikki is tight. I said, yeah, nigga, you right. He said, damn, babe, you so little, but you be really taking that pipe. I said, yes, daddy, I do. Give me brain like NYU. I said, teach me, nigga, teach me. All this learning here is by you.
I'm whipping that work, he's digging that work. I got it. 36 for that real, pack it full of that bounce, baby. Come get you some of that bounce, baby.
I'm feeling myself.
Cooking up that bass, looking like a kilo. He just wanna taste. Bitches ain't got punchlines or flow. I have both and an empire also. Keep getting gifts from Santa Claus at the North Pole. Today I'm icy, but I'm praying for some more snow. Let that hoe know.
He in love with that
cook.
Why these bitches don't ever be learning? You bitches will never get what I be earning. I'm still getting plaques for my records. That's urban. Ain't gotta rely on top 40. I am my rap legend. Just go ask the kings of rap. Who is the queen and things of that nature? Look at my finger. That is a glacier. Hits like a laser. Tripping on that work. Trippin' off that perk. Flippin' up my skirt and I be whipping all at work. Taking trips with all them keys. Car keys got bees. Singing with the queen bee and we be whipping all of that D. Cause we dope girls, we
flawless.
We the poster girls for owlers. We run around with them bowlers. Only real niggas in my cowlist. I'm the big kahuna. Go let them whores know. Just on this song alone, bitches on her fourth floor. You like it, don't you?
Snitches.
Young Money.
Hello, everyone. This is Jessica Baptiste. Thank you for tuning in this week for Segments from Saffron. I am excited for today's show, extremely excited. I have the lovely Florence Johnson, who is going to be joining us. Florence, you there?
I am, and
hello?
I like the description. Hello.
For everyone that's listening, Florence is not just an attorney in Memphis, Tennessee, a successful attorney. She's actually my first cousin as well. So she agreed to do the show today. She does a lot of really good political posts online, on Facebook. And I think, didn't you do some blogging, or your mom did a blog, or you commented on a couple? Recently, I saw.
I think
did you do that?
The question becomes, I think the question becomes, how many things has mom not commented on? But yeah, you are right.
Okay. Yeah, she actually is very politically savvy, and considering the recent events, I think that we all need to be a little bit more well-versed in that. But jumping straight into it, Florence, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background.
I am an attorney here in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm the owner of my own law firm, where I work primarily with my brother, who is an attorney. We've been in business together in a practice since 1999. I've been lawyer now in Memphis. I've been a lawyer now in Memphis for 25 years. I've had a license for 26 years. So that is our practice is a very niche practice. We do complex litigation matters. I practice labor and employment work, which is a lot of civil rights and employment discrimination work. My partner practices a lot of business litigation, a lot of medical malpractice.
Okay, good. I know a lot on your description that I put that you litigated in front of several organizations, just to name a few, FMLA, the Teamsters. You did some EEOC complaints and things of that nature. But kind of getting on track back to the spectrum of the latest political scene, from not just from a attorney standpoint, but a civic-minded individual standpoint, what do you see going on in the country as a whole with the recent political system? I should say conservatives taking back the government. What do you see basically in layman's terms that would mean for everyday people? What we are seeing and what you see and how you can kind of break it down a little bit from a legal standpoint, but in layman's terms.
That's a loaded question, and I'll try to walk through some of that.
Okay.
You know, I was at a meeting the other day and with my bar association, and they mentioned that lawyers and social change agents, people that are looking to push social change in our culture, mm-hmm. are natural mm-hmm. collaborators. And that made that made a lot of sense to me, because oftentimes, you know, if there is a movement, somebody feels wrong or someone's protesting something, if somebody's been the victim mm-hmm. of some sort of crime, you're automatically mm-hmm. going to turn to the legal system for some sort of redress. So as lawyers, I think we have a really big, large duty in the society to step forward and kind of point the way when it seems like society and our culture is going in the wrong direction. And that's mm-hmm. really what I see happening right now. I think there that what is most shocking to me as a lawyer is the assault that we see on the rule of law. That law doesn't matter anymore. That rules don't matter anymore. And all that matters is, you know, getting a result, doing something you shouldn't do. All you have to do is apologize or say, I'm sorry, and everything's forgiven.
Yeah.
And I think that's really of concern to me is because I think that people will start to believe there is no right or wrong. It's only what mm-hmm. I can get away with in the moment. So that's problematic.
It's very problematic. It's actually very, very scary to think that we're heading in that direction. And even speaking just for the African-American community and about civil rights, with everything that's going on, police brutality, the NFL, everyone taking a knee, and people not really understanding why these things are happening and what they mean on a broader spectrum. When you see, I think it was Richard Sherman, actually, I think, did he take a knee last week? Or somebody said he did something. But just with all of that happening, do you think people have a grasp of what all of it means, or are they just basically looking at it in a concrete way of it's a misrepresentation of this, or it's a representation, I should say, of disrespecting the flag or the Constitution? What's your take on that whole thing?
I think that what the athletes started to do and originally protest was a very narrow, concrete issue. They were voicing their displeasure physically by kneeling about what was happening in policing. And what happened when it got broader, then the narrative changed, and the media and commenters allowed the bloviating president that sits in the White House to turn it into something unpatriotic, and it had nothing to do with a disrespect of the flag or any service of a military person. I mean, we have military servicemen in our family who were wounded and have given everything that they possibly could have given for their country. So there's no situation where, you know, military families would be disrespecting the flag or service. What we are concerned about, what people are speaking out about, is the fact that, you know, policing has gone to such a level where you cannot even voice discontent with what municipalities and police departments are doing for getting maced or get shot or get, you know, hogtied or get detained improperly. So it was a simple act to say, I am dissatisfied with what is happening in the state of policing that has now morphed into this nonsense that people are allowing themselves to get dragged into. And I think that's the problem with having a society, electorate, a group of people. And I don't mean a group of people, solely people that support this man that occupies the White House. I mean, people, when they stop teaching civics and people don't understand what their role is as a citizen of the United States, it allows a lot of noise to come in, and, you know, there you have problems, and they're easily swayed, and that's what I see happening.
And people don't really learn from past mistakes in history of when you take people's voices away, or you try to take people's voices away and their freedoms away, which include their civil rights. It kind of mimics in whispers of a dictatorship. And I've been hearing that word thrown around a lot, probably in the last couple of weeks. I do watch a lot of pundits, and I know Keith Olbermann's not on the air anymore, but I do subscribe to his channel on YouTube, and he continues. He's been actually throwing dictator and dictatorship around a lot, I would say probably within the last few weeks. And to me, that I think that's very scary, but people cannot imagine that something like that could happen here in the United States, where we can have a dictator in the White House. But it feels that some of the stuff that's going on and people agreeing with some of the things that he's saying, the latest with Puerto Rico, I don't really understand why we are trying to take that road. And I shouldn't say we, because I don't think a lot of people are behind it, but some people are insulting the country after the complete devastation that's going on down there. And I don't understand why more people are not ranting and raving. The ones I see, I don't think they really understand it, which brings it back to what you said before. A lot of people are not civic minded. They don't understand what's going on. And a lot of people did not vote in the 2016 election. I know a lot of people that said my vote doesn't count. And then you have to have that whole narrative history lesson with them about how everything is ran. And I just think that, you know, just not people as a whole, especially African Americans, we really, really need to try to educate ourselves a little bit better on how things are run and who has the power and who doesn't have the power and how the processes go. I really, really do believe that. Do you think that number 45 will be impeached anytime soon?
I can only speculate, like most people are. I think that's where we're headed. I think before the next year is over, we're going to see a lot of movement. I mean, the Mueller investigation is moving. To me, it seems like it's moving at a snail's pace, but
it really is.
I imagine he's trying to be thorough. So we will see. I think this is going to be an interesting time to be an American and paying attention to the political process, because I think we are going to see, you know, I think it is Representative Al Green and Steve Cohen out of Tennessee. They are our representative here in the 9th Congressional District. They are working on a joint article of impeachment. So I think you're going to see that in the next week to 14 days. And they're going to start the process. So it's going to be an interesting time to be an American and paying attention to politics.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I watch television and read up on it, but it's an everyday occurrence, because every day something new is coming up about the Robert Mueller investigation, James Comey's termination, the goings on at 1600. But you know, you kind of have to just go with it. Sometimes it runs together. Switching gears a little bit, I do want to touch on the fact of your career. And one reason I want to do that is because I find myself, and I can only speak, being an African-American educated young woman in the job world and in the professional realm, you do have opposition. And for you to have a very illustrious career thus far, practicing law for over 20 years, what are some obstacles that you have found, and how did you kind of overcome them?
You know, I was at a meeting the other day, and they were talking about black businesses and the importance of African American businesses partnering with capital lenders and you know, kind of paying attention to what your bottom line is. And I had to think for a minute. You think, oh well, I just own a law firm, or you know, I'm just a dentist, or I'm just a doctor. You really don't really think of yourself as a business owner. And so it kind of struck me in that meeting. I said, well, I guess I am a business owner. I've had you know, my own business since 1999, but before 1999, gave me the confidence to go ahead and start a business is the fact that I had really excellent training in the law, and I worked with a firm for 7 years and got the kind of training and background that I needed to feel comfortable as a lawyer. And I think sometimes what happens with businesses is people are forced into business without having adequate background and training and understanding about what it takes to build a successful business. So I would say that is the first thing to do and understand and recognize when you say, oh, I want to start a business, and you're not a hairdresser. Well, even if you are a hairdresser, or if you have a carpet laying business, or you are a landscaper, you better understand what your market is, and you better make sure that your training is such that when you put your shingle out there, you feel comfortable that people will come to you and be happy with the product. So I think training is important, and I think knowing what your client base is and who you're trying to get to. I mean, our firm we don't do a lot of different types of law. You don't come to me if you're looking to get a DUI expunged.
Yeah.
If you see me going to criminal court, there's a problem. Someone's going to jail. It's me or it's you. But, you know, so my practice was kind of born out of what I do. And so when people come to me, they're looking for what I have to offer. So knowing your training, being unique and being good at what you do, and that comes with time and practice.
That makes perfect sense. Actually makes really, really good sense. I know before you owned your own law firm, you worked in other law firms. I know it's kind of a ridiculous question because we all deal with discrimination, but in any discrimination, being an African-American woman, because it's, you know, twofold, you're African-American, you're a woman. How did you deal with that? And how would you advise, I would say, the up and coming generation on how to do, how to deal with it, recognize it, and deal with it in a professional way where, you know, you're benefiting and you're not losing anything out of it.
I think you say your question kind of answers itself. You have to recognize it, and you have to know what the situation is. If someone's coming at you wrong, if someone, you know, as a woman in a workplace, if males are coming to you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, you have to first recognize this is not just joking around. You know, someone always wanting to go to lunch with me or touching me in the middle of a work day where there's no need for me to be touched. You have to say, well, you know, something's not right here. And you also have to not be afraid to bring it to the attention of somebody else in management or higher ups and let them know, hey, I feel uncomfortable working with Charlie, or I feel uncomfortable working with Sally. Because, you know, I've done a few same-sex discrimination cases that have gotten a lot, gotten attention, and you know, people are still squeamish about that. But it happens. It absolutely happens in the workplace.
Wow.
So,
you really
but
don't hear about
I
same-sex ones.
Well, I think I do, just because it's the way I practice. But in a lot of very testosterone-driven workplaces, like truck drivers, like construction workers, you'll get a lot of things that males try to pass off as horseplay. Oh, I'm just you know, punching you in the arm, or, you know, rubbing
that
on your butt, or trying to see if you're going to say something. Right. And so so then the person that says it's not horseplay, then they're like, oh, you're so sensitive, or you're this, or you're that. So recognizing inappropriate behavior is important, and speaking out about it.
I mean, I would imagine, and maybe I'm just not well versed on it. I know you hear about sexual harassment. Everybody kind of knows what it is. You know, it's not hard to understand. I guess it's hard if it's happening to you, or any type of discrimination. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to recognize it. But like you said, it may be hard to report that this is happening to you, because you might be a little bit scared of any ramifications that may come of you reporting it. But, you know, it's something that happens, and it's bad.
Yes, and it's bad, but it's also kept me in business for 25 years. And I think what I find is it's not getting less. You say, like, everybody knows what it is and that you shouldn't do it, but I've seen an uptick, really, in straight up sexual harassment. This, like, stuff that you would think was from the 1970s. You're like, what?
Oh my gosh.
So
like North Country type of crap.
Yeah, I mean, in the past 5 years, I've just seen an uptick in just plain old garden variety. You know, you're gonna get with me, and then I'll give you a better schedule kind of thing. And the person's like, what?
That's
a
stupid. Really?
So that's kind
really?
Of sexual harassment and retaliation is on the rise.
Wow. Why do you think it's on the rise, though?
Well, I mean, you know, you could say some of the obvious causes. I think in this atmosphere where people are saying, well, you know, everybody's so PC, and why can't I tell a woman that she looks nicer? Why can't I ask her to lunch, or why can't we go on a trip together? And if anybody speaks up about it, oh, you're a snowflake, or you're too sensitive, or you're this and that.
Yeah.
And so now, especially with the current administration, people feel that their boorish behavior, it should be tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says something about it, then you're just overly sensitive. And so
it's anti-establishment. That was the whole thing this current administration ran on, was I'm not one of them. I'm on the outside. I'm going to drain the swamp. So it's okay to say racist things. It's okay to pick up that narrative from 40 years ago, and people think it's okay because, oh, he's not part of the establishment, but it's wrong. And there's a reason why it's not spoken outright. So I kind of can see your point there.
The Supreme Court is getting ready to take up, well, the Supreme Court will have a case that's coming out of the Second Circuit right now where the administration, the Department of Justice, is arguing that what you do as what you do in your sexual life outside of work should impact your job. And the EEOC, which is part of the government, is arguing exactly the opposite. This has to do with sexual orientation. And so your Department of Justice is arguing that your homosexuality should impact your job such that if I find out that you're engaged in homosexual activity, then I can come to work and fire you. And the EEOC, which is part of the government, says, you know, we've always said that sexual orientation should not be a basis for someone to be terminated. So you have two actual branches of government arguing in opposite. And this is a case out of the Second Circuit. And so what's going to happen is whatever the Second Circuit does, there's going to be an appeal to the Supreme Court. Here's the importance of the Supreme Court. Right now, thing happening in the Supreme Court is going 5-4. The justice that's making the determining, casting the determining vote is Gorsuch. Gorsuch, who was just appointed by the president. So they have a 5-4 conservative bent in the Supreme Court. So guess what's probably going to happen? If that case goes to the Supreme Court, you know, we can assume probably that the DOJ position that, you know, you being gay outside of work is fine for me to fire you for, that is probably going to prevail. Mm-hmm. And that's shocking.
It's very shocking because it's a violation of civil rights as well. I mean, I don't think people realize, I just don't think people realize the seriousness of all of this stuff that's happening. I don't really think they understand it. And that bothers me because I mean, my minor in college was history, and as history has shown, people that stop thinking for themselves and allow, you know, crazy people that don't have any morals or any type of moral standing but do have an agenda, you let them do the thinking for you, we're going to be in serious trouble. And I just implore everybody, you know, even people that listen to the show and follow me on my social media outlets, just, you know, read up on things. Don't always assume, you know, have a broad spectrum of knowledge to make sound decisions when you do go to the polls. We have midterm elections coming up next year. So, you know, understand your place civically in this country and understand where you can get information, correct information, and where you have a voice. And I thank you so much. We're actually running out of time. Do you have any type of website or any information you want to give people in case they want to have more questions about some stuff we discussed? Do you want to give that information out?
Sure. Our firm has a website. It's www.andjohnsonatts.com. And there's a space in there if somebody wants to send us a question. They can certainly do it that way, and we'll respond to it. Obviously, if you send us a question, we respond. There's no legal relationship. I have to say that. But if you're just seeking a consultation, if you're seeking a consultation, we can certainly get back to you. I do a lot of consults over the phone. So in different venues like avvo.com, they have I'm listed in those in employment discrimination. So there's a number of ways to get me. If you just Google me, you'll get to our website.
Good.
And I'll be
happy thank
to
you all
any
for
questions anybody has.
Great. Thank you all for tuning in this week. I'm not going to do my show next week. I'm on another writing deadline, but I will announce my next co-host on social media probably in the next week or so. As always, have a great week. Stay prayerful. Stay mindful. X's and O's, Jessica. Thank you, Florence, so much, and you all have a great week.
Thanks for having me, Jessica. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.